We're closing out a series, and this has been, we've kind of mixed this series in within our busy schedule and such, so to get caught up on all of this, you'd probably have to go, this is the fifth part, so the closing, so there's five parts of this, so you'll have to go back a month or so if you want to catch these online, but it's the divine alignment, and recently, we've been talking in this series that it's so important and it's so critical that we align our lives up with the right things. We've talked about that. We've talked about aligning it up with the right places. Places matter. Where we go, places matter to God. And we talked about some of the places in biblical history that matter to God. Church matters to God. This place right here matters to God. Then we also talked about priorities, about what we prioritize in our life and what matters most to God. And God spoke to us tonight in a very profound prophetic word. And it matters. Our relationship with God matters. So tonight we're going to talk, we talked about priorities the last time we talked about different areas of our lives that we should prioritize and what order of those priorities. I'm not going to go through that tonight, you can just go online and you can look that up and listen to that. But tonight we're going to kind of hone this in a little bit more because I really feel that what we're going to talk about tonight is probably the number one area of any person's life, especially a Christian's life, or that they struggle with, and if we don't get this struggle right, it can affect our divine alignment of us aligning ourselves with God's divine will for our lives. We're going to talk about our daily schedule matters. So, in review, we must understand, church, that there's nothing outside of God's control. God has a way, and God is constantly working, sometimes behind the scenes, sometimes in very visible ways, but God is constantly aligning things up for his people, up for his church. He will align, put the right people in your life at the right time. He will put you at the right place at the right time. He will line up your work, your job. He will line all of these events up for you. And why does God do that? Because God desires more than we desire. God desires to fulfill his plan and his purpose in our lives. So the purpose that God has for us, it's not just so we can just enjoy and reap the blessings of his kingdom, but he desires us to be involved in what he holds very dear to his heart, and that is souls. God's kingdom, God desires us as individuals to be involved in his kingdom. He wants to take us up to the next level. Now, when we were saved, we came in, if we could just call it salvation, we came in at level one. But God doesn't want us to stay there. The Holy Ghost wasn't just designed only for salvation. It's designed to lead us and guide us from one level to another, to another, to another. And the farther we go in God, the more levels we go through, the more powerful the Holy Ghost should become in our lives. So God desires to bring us to the next level, but not just so that we can just maintain at that level. It's one thing to maintain at a different level. It's one thing to maintain at a different dimension, but God desires each and every one of us and as a church body to flourish at that level. He doesn't want us to flounder. He wants us to flourish at that level. He wants us to be able to take and not just maintain it, but to grow in it and grow through it. Because there's multiple, the sky's the limit when it comes to God's ability with humanity. And God desires to take us there. God brings people. He brings events. He brings circumstances into our lives at the exact right time in order to get you to the next place that he wants to take you to. Now, one thing you've got to understand about God, and I've mentioned this in every one of these series, when God begins to align things in our lives, God is going to begin to accelerate that process. When God starts to align things, there becomes an acceleration. Now, there is a danger, though, because sometimes we can receive God's blessings. Just as I spoke of Israel, we can have the manna, we can have the water, our clothes can never wear out, we got the fire by night, the cloud by day, but we can still be misdirected. We can still falter. Just because we have all of our needs met does not mean that our alignment is correct. Okay? So you may ask, how do I get divine alignment to operate? How do I get my life to operate in the divine alignment with God's will for my life? Well, as I said, one thing you have to do is you've got to get the geography right. Geography, you got to get in the right place. You got to get in the right church. And that right church has to be teaching the right doctrine. It's got to be this. It's got to be the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, it's just a feel good, then you know what? Feel good ain't going to get you to heaven. I want to know that I have the right goods, I had the right experience, I've got the right salvation to get me to heaven. So you got to have the right geography. We got to make sure our priorities are right. We got to make sure that we check out the time that we spend with God in prayer and worship and reading His Word. We have to check out to make sure that there's no fear, there's no anxiety. Brother Noah spoke of this on Sunday night about overcoming fear. And we have to be able to face those fears. We have to be able to face those points of anxiety in our lives. And we have to overcome them through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that involves us having to trust in God. Now, it's really hard sometimes for humanity, and I don't know why this is such a difficult thing, but we just have a really hard time sometimes just simply trusting in God. But we have to trust in Him, and then we have to be prepared to move quickly into something new in God, as in a spiritual promotion, because God is always wanting to promote His people when it's God's ready to promote His people. You see, a lot of times we want that promotion before we're ready for that promotion, and we want to push it ahead, and God says, no, just wait a minute. You got a few more things to learn. So the right people, the right place, the right time, the right things, the right priorities. So last on our list of important things that we need in order to get oneself into our divine destiny with God is we need to align our schedule up so that our schedule can reflect what God's plan is for us on a daily basis. So your schedule, your daily routine, my daily routine, is the single most critical key when it comes to divine enlightenment. So what does Matthew 6:33 tell us? This is our passage, our scripture passage for this series. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We talked about that in our priorities and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So how do we handle our schedules? And how we handle our schedules determine whether we seek God first or not. So the wisdom in Matthew 6:33 is a key to not only our lives, but a key to our daily schedules as well. So let's look for a few minutes and discuss what I feel some of very important points when it comes to our daily schedules. So here's a few things. Now, this is not limited to everything that I've learned over the years, because I've learned a lot of things that really aren't really necessary. I think we can all say that. We've learned some pretty intelligent things that we need, and we've learned some things that are kind of dumb. So, I have learned that my schedule oftentimes will determine on how healthy or sick that I become. Did you know that? I know some people are like healthy as a horse. They never get sick. Every horse I've ever had has gotten sick, and I had to put it down. So maybe healthy as a horse isn't a good way to say it. My wife's horse had allergies, and that thing would cough and cough and cough. It's the funniest thing. But good horse, but He just had allergies. He was allergic to dust. He's allergic to the food he ate and everything else. But, you know, our schedule determines how healthy or sick we can become. Do you know that? Because sometimes we can take our schedule and we can push ourselves far beyond what God designed our bodies to handle. And we push ourselves. He designed us to sleep at night. Did you know that? God designed you and I to actually go to bed at a decent hour and sleep. But we don't always do that, do we? Stress. Stress is a major contributing factor to one's health and well-being. If you looked up stress, the symptoms of stress in a medical dictionary, or just Google it, we can all do that. And you find out all the things that are related to stress and how that can all work its way back and affect us in a very, very negative spiritual way. So when we look at stress, now I've learned over the years, especially in the construction years of my life, that my schedule, I could actually set my schedule up, and by how I set my schedule up would actually dictate how much money I made or lost. How many of you like to make money? Listen, if you say, I don't like making money, you don't like to work, you don't like, you know, I don't mind making money. Now, money's not my God, but understand something. I do realize that if I don't like making money and I don't do what I don't like, then I'm in a world of hurt. So if you don't like making money and I don't have a problem with making money, don't make me feel guilty and ask for mine. Okay, but I found out that the more I worked, the more money that I made. And the more that I made, yep, the more you make, the more you spend, isn't it? Isn't that how it generally works? So you got to work a few hours more to pay for those few more stuffs that you just bought. And all of those stuffs has got to be taken care of. So you got to work more to pay for all of that stuffs. So you get caught up in this rut. The more you make, the more you spend. The more you spend, the more you got to work. And all of this comes down and it affects your daily schedule. Because see, every last one of us, Brother Brian, we have 24 hours in a day. We don't have one, there's not one second more than 24 hours in a day. So what we do in that time, how we spend that time, is very important. I also found out that relationships, no matter how good those relationships were or how bad those relationships were, they were directly related to the amount of time that I put into them. My ministry, and at the time when I was in business, reflecting back, I was in the children's ministry, was directly related in its successes as well as in its failures as how much time I had available in my schedule to see that everything was running smoothly or at times just barely coasting and really in kind of, if you just want to say, survival mode. But you see, leaders, one cannot expect to have a successful ministry. You cannot expect to have a successful ministry if your schedule does not allow for that to happen. It's not going to work. So how we handle our time will determine whether or not we reach our divine destiny with God. Paul states in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, he says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Anybody know what that word means? It means cautiously, watchfully. "See then that ye walk cautiously." Pay attention to where you're going. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," which means saving time. "Be efficient with what you have." Why? Because there's not much time left because the days are evil. Okay, so when we look at this, some of us, we've had some pretty ambitious goals and dreams in our lives, but those goals and those dreams are literally being killed by our daily schedules. Our lives are made up of minutes. We live by them. We die by them. So how one chooses to live, how one chooses to spend those minutes will determine the outcome of whether one is successful or failure. Now, you got to understand something when it comes to life, folks. We only get one shot at going through this thing. That's it. Perfect timing, brother. We get one shot. You don't get another chance. When you're on your deathbed or you're about to plow into that Lycon truck at 75 miles an hour and your life flashes before your eyes, you can't hit pause and hit rewind and say, I'm going to play the last 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes over again. You won't get back the seconds that I just used explaining that to you. You'll never get that time back. So use your life well. Spend those minutes wisely. And if you do, what does our scripture say? And all these things will be added unto you. You will prosper and you will fulfill God's purpose for your life. But on the other hand, if you squander them, your life can go before you know it, and you will miss out on God's best and what He has best planned for you. Now, this is not a life choice, by the way. This is you. I remember years ago, our bishop giving me some of the best advice I've ever received, and that was when I was asking him about success and failures, and how do you be successful as long as you have been over the time? And he says, you just make up your mind minute by minute. Now, I expected him to say, well, son, you know, you got to make up your mind. You're going to serve God the rest of your life. No, he says, you know what? This is just a minute-by-minute thing, an hour-by-hour, a day-by-day, a week-by-week, a month-by-month. And the more minutes you have on the positive side of things, it begins to become easier because you're learning, you're growing. The more minutes you have on the negative side of things, the harder it becomes because you got to start over, and you got to start over. And we waste valuable time just starting over. How many of you are just absolutely sometimes fed up with something? Maybe it's a habit or something you struggle with, whatever it is, that you get sick and tired of starting over. I get that way. I'm like, man, I am tired of starting over on this thing. Stop wasting those minutes. You see, I want everything. I'm greedy in this way. Brother Scott, I want everything that God has for me. Everything. And I want to be able to take and live my life to the best of my ability, to spending my minutes wisely, that God will look down and say, you know what? I'm willing to invest more in Him because He's spending it wisely. You see, God's looking for good investments. God's not going to pour good into an empty or a vessel that's got holes all in it. You're going to have to fix some of those things. We're going to have to, and that's what this is all about tonight. But we got to remember that if we master this, if we can become better stewards of our time management, you and I and this church and His church body, we will reap great rewards in this life and in the life to come. God doesn't want us to be paupers. This isn't one of those get-rich-quick messages. But God doesn't want us to be paupers here on this earth. He wants His church to be a shining example to the whole entire world. And God's grace is sufficient for me. Did you know that? His grace is sufficient. And His strength is made perfect in my strength. Know what it says? No. Good sister Claudia, what is it? His strength is made perfect in what? My weakness. So when we have those weaknesses, we got to understand His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. So will we always be perfect? Are we always going to make those right choices every day? No, that's not going to happen. Because we have sometimes, we just get up and the very minute our feet touch the floor, things just seemingly go bad. Not too long ago, I got up, I put my feet on the floor, I went to get my glasses, I knocked over my water, sitting by the bed, it falls over the top of my phone, I quick throw my phone off the the nightstand because there's water all over. And, you know, my glasses went. I don't know where they went. And I'm crawling around. I'm trying to find my glasses. You know, you just have those mornings. You're like, what in the world is going on? But that's just how it is. You know, so your day may fall apart. But you know what? Sometimes it's just better to just say, all right, God, I'm just going to crawl back in bed. We're going to hit the reset button, and we're just going to start this thing over. We're going to get up. We're going to do this again. Take a deep breath. I'm going to say a prayer of thanks. Lord, thank you. Thank you, because I've got a glass of water I can put by my bed, and I got a nightstand to put it on. Now, that's hard to do. We don't usually ever do that, do we? Be honest. No, you don't, do you? But we need to, right? We need to move forward. So whatever controls our time, and we got to understand this, whatever controls our time controls our life. So most of us deal with some of these feelings at times. I can't get everything done. How many of you ever said that? You know what? There's just too much to do today. I can't get everything done. I'm a slave to that clock. It's 8:05. I've got 25 minutes to get through 40 more pages. And you got to listen. I can't even take a breather. I got to take a water break. I'm busy all the time, but I never feel like I'm getting any of the important things done. You ever do that? You spend all day long. You got all the important things that you got to do, and you work all day long, and you never even get to the important list. When I take a day off, I just feel like I've just wasted the day. I took a day off, and I wanted to get all of these things done, and just nothing got, I didn't get any of it done. But so many pressing, I got so many. We maybe sat there, and you have this list that has to be done. You've got this big fellowship that night, this Friday night at your house, and it's Friday morning, you got this big list, and you're like, all of these pressing priorities, what do I do first? I don't know what to do first. So we face all of these time challenges. But I would say that generally most of us, we all have the same desire. We want to make the best use of our time in accordance with the things that we feel are truly most important. And as Christians, the thing that makes time management so very, very different is the source. Hear me now. This is, you can write this down. You can tweet this one, okay? Is the source of what we consider important. You see, there are a lot of important things in life, but there's a lot of things that we may deem as important or somebody else may think is important, but really it's not that important when it really boils down to it. So remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about priorities? What was number one on our priority list? Are you guys afraid? God. God is number one. So who should be number one in our time management list? God. Right. Some of these things just follow over. Why should God be number one? Because God is, we've got to start out and consider, when we look at God, have you ever thought about what God thinks about time and what he wants us to learn from time management? How does God view time? Have you ever? I was thinking about that, and I looked at in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity. That's pretty powerful right there. Whose name is holy? I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite. Anybody know what contrite means? Can you tell me? Anybody know what contrite means? It means a repentant. It can mean other words, but repentant is what I settled on here. So with him also that is of a repentant heart and a humble spirit, and revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones or the repentant ones. So God, understand something. God was around before time ever even existed. So think about this. God was around forever. I can't wrap my brain around this, Bishop, but God was around forever before time even existed. To try to get us a little bit of a perspective. First Peter, talks about in 2 Peter 3:8, he says, with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So God is unrestricted by time, nor is God controlled by time. But even though he's unrestricted by it, he controls it. Yet he still allows himself, and this is the amazing part that I found to find out about God. He allows himself at this point in time in history, he allows himself to be controlled by time. And he puts a great emphasis on it. God, he's always punctual. Did you know that? God's always punctual. Now, we don't always think that, but he does. And he's the one that matters. I'm sorry, but it's all about him. And he always acts at the right time. We got to remember, his timing is not our timing. So when we pray for something, and God says, I'll be there in a few minutes, don't worry about it. Well, if 1,000 years is to us is a year to him, so a few minutes is like, he's like telling me that he's not going to get here until I got to live to be 108. But see, that's how God is. His timing is not always our timing. But understand, folks, that God created a time. God created a time as a tool, a managing tool for humanity. And we were put on this universe, or in this universe of time, to learn so many different lessons. And those lessons help us to develop the character of God. So Christian time management means learning to use time as God wants us to use it. So we need to put God first every morning. Every morning, the first thing is God. If we want to become more like God, we need to have his priorities. We need to learn to use those priorities to produce a plan for improving our lives, and then we align our life up to his plan. And we need to put those plans into action, because God's priorities and God's plans always produce results. And if we align ourselves up with him, then the plans that we have along with God and we share, then our plans that we have, if we follow what God wants, then you know what? If he plans for us to have a massive revival here in Dane County, then you know what? It's going to happen, because we have aligned our will, our plans with his, and we've taken our priorities and put them in line with his priorities. God reveals to us what is most important in life. What does he say? I mean, we read this in Matthew 6:33. This is the Sermon on the Mount. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. You want to be successful in your time management? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. To become more like God, we have to have his priorities. And we need to learn to use those priorities to produce a plan for improving our lives and aligning that plan up to God with God's plan. And we need to put those plans into action. But if we put what God says is important first, all the other things that we needed, just like the scripture says, will be added unto us as well. So with that said, we simply, as a Christian, we cannot take charge of our time without clearly defining our priorities. So we must schedule what matters most first, or it's going to be pushed out by the hundreds of seemingly urgent, persistent things that come against us every day. So we got to set priorities. And we said God is number one in our priorities. So we have priorities, and we have a purpose, and we have a plan. And if we follow all this correctly, then God will add to that a productive life with him. So the Bible tells us, the Bible reveals that God is a planner. If you look at salvation, it amazes me that when you go all the way back to the very beginning in the garden, when man, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God had a plan in place. And he worked that plan for some 4,000 plus years diligently. He never swayed from it. He never altered it. He worked that plan. And it didn't come about without some extremely detailed plans. I mean, you think about everything that had to happen from Genesis, the garden, all the way up to the Garden of Gethsemane. Think of all the planning and all the events that had to happen, had to take place from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's just mind-boggling. But see, God has this same plan for our lives. So as individuals, we need long-range plans. We need annual plans. We need plans that we make from day to day. And we need plans that sometimes are just going to fall in between, here and there. And we need to work those. It's not about filling every moment with busy work. Because we get in a habit of doing this, church. We get in a habit, one of the worst habits that humanity has right now is that if we got a minute to spare, we got to fill it with something. So we're filling it with social media, and then we fill it more and more and more, and pretty soon we can't even go to the bathroom without taking our phones with us. You laugh at me because we do that. Well, I don't want to miss this call. Okay. First thing the person's going to ask you is, hey, what you doing? And then you're going to have to lie to them because you're not going to tell them. So, planning, when we plan, you see, we can be very busy and not accomplish much. I've worked with people over the years that, man, they were busy all the time, but at the end of the day, it's like, what did they get done? They never really got a lot accomplished. So, good planning, solid planning, biblical, godly planning leads to action. So, we have to plan time with Him. And this is so very important. And, you know, God visited Adam and Eve every day in the cool of the evening. Every day, God came in, sat down, and said, hey, Adam, how'd it go today? Well, you know, Lord, I tell you, those raspberries, man, you put some wicked thorns on them things. Maybe thorns weren't around then. I don't know. Maybe that came after the curse. I think it does. Let's say thorns came after the curse, didn't it? Did roses not have thorns then either? I don't know. But anyway, it was hard. He's like, you know, you put those coconuts way up in the tree, and I'm not very good at climbing up there. And Eve, she didn't even think about it. And, you know, so, you know, they talked. They built a relationship with one another. And that's what's so important. But see, they're talking. We can converse with God just like that every day. And we call that time alone with God our prayer time. So our number one priority is God and our communication with God. And you think about this. And I understand that Adam and Eve's relationship was much different than our relationship is now, but just by reading about God coming to the garden every day, that tells me that God loves fellowship. We love fellowship, don't we? I mean, we love it after church, man, when there's cake and there's cookies and all of this kind of stuff and somebody's going to Culver's and 15 people are going to Culver's. We love that fellowship. We complain because the preacher preaches 5 minutes too long, but Brother Rick Solberg has to boot us out of the building at 10 o'clock. It's just a thought. You see, God loves fellowship. He wants us to study His Word. He put this in writing so we could read it, so we could learn about Him, so we could know Him, know what He likes, what He dislikes. I want to please God. And this book right here we call the Holy Bible, made up of the 66 books in it. These books tell us so much about God. He wants us to study His Word. He wants us to plan time. We talked about priorities. Another with our daily schedule. Our number one priority was God, and then it was family. And we need to plan time for family. So many times, I talked with someone just this past week. It's been 14 years since they've had a family vacation. 14 years. Like, wow, that's a long time. You need to take time. Relationships, whether you know this or not, relationships take a commitment of time to one another and to that relationship. If you don't have time, your relationship is going to suffer. I talked about this on Father's Day. God does not ask us to do this, but he commands parents to spend time teaching their children. In Ephesians 6:4 and Deuteronomy 6:7, we need to plan time for work. You see, God placed man in the garden, and his responsibility was to take care of it, and he was placed as a steward over what God had given him. So God, I don't know if you figured this out or not, but God designed the human body to work. My dad used to, he had a hard time giving us boys allowance. He said, why should I pay you to clean your own mess up in your room? Now, he's got a good point there. So we only got allowance for those extra things. I remember one summer I painted the barn. And Dad said, I will give you $100 to paint that barn. Now, it was an old horse barn, old rough cedar siding. And, man, I worked on that thing all summer long. I finally got that $100. I went over to Sears, and I was going to buy me a Sears Free Spirit 10-speed bicycle in metallic green. It was $99.99. Dad drops me off. I talk to the guy from Sears. I don't know if Dad remembers this or not, but the bike came to more than the $99.99 because you had tax. And I didn't have the tax, and Dad wouldn't cough the tax up. He says, son, this is where you learn how to dicker with somebody. Now, that was back in those days where you could do that. So the old fellow there at Sears felt sorry for me, and he took the tax off, and I rode that Free Spirit 10-speed back home. Man, Brother Brian, I was so proud of that thing. But you see, I didn't get allowance for it. I had to earn that. But see, God designed us to work. And did you know if you don't work, your body starts to fall apart? You start to have health issues. That heart needs to beat more than just the 72 times per minute in your chest. It needs to be pushed every now and then. It needs to work. God placed man in the garden to work. So we need to take time out of our daily routines to practice healthy living. And I know, you know, I talk about pizza and I talk about Mountain Dew and all this kind of stuff. I haven't had a Mountain Dew. I think it's been close to 2 months now. But I'm working at it. And I've replaced it with iced tea, decaffeinated iced tea. So I don't drink a whole pitcher of it after church, and I'm up till 4 in the morning. So it's decaffeinated, and, you know, it's not real sweet, but I'm learning. I'm getting there. But you know what? I want to take care of myself. I want to take care of myself. I want to be around as long as my wife's around. I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy for my grandkids. They wear me out when they come over. They were over Sunday night. We had a sleepover, and I'm going to tell you, it's 5:30 in the morning. They're ready to go. Cole's like, Poppy, are you up yet? He's like staring this close to me. Can we go play trains? No, not 5:30. I said, you come back. You come back when it says 7:30 on the clock dial in the living room on the stove. So see, God designed us to rest, but he also to work. He also designed us. He wanted us to live a healthy lifestyle, but he also, did you know, it's okay sometimes to just go home after work and relax. I struggle with this, man. I go home, I got to be doing something. I got to do something. Otherwise, when I go to bed and I haven't done anything from when I get home from work to when I go to bed, I feel like I've wasted that time. But you know what? God says, you know what, every now and then, it's all right for you to go home after a hard day's work, sit down, have a glass of iced tea, and just relax. Put a little lemon in it, maybe, if that zests it up for you. But we got to understand that Jesus took time. In Mark 6:31, he said to his disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Yeah, rest a while. For there were many coming and going. He's basically saying, you know what, guys, we are surrounded by people. all the time. So let's just get out into a nice desert place and get away from the crowds and just relax. Just relax. We've got to understand, folks, the best priorities and plans in the world are completely worthless unless we put them into practice. So listen, we cannot run ourselves into the ground. We cannot load up our schedules. We cannot be productive and grow as we need to grow in God's kingdom if we're tired, if we're worn out, if we're overweight, and we can't sleep at night, because I've tried that method, and you know what? It just simply doesn't work. One cannot always just say that, you know, the harder I work and the more I work, the better things are going to be, because it's not always that way. So we have to understand, we cannot always apply, as I would call, construction mentality to God's kingdom when it comes to scheduling. So to implement our planned schedule, it requires constant motivation. We have to focus. We have to be persistent. We have to choose what's truly important. We've got to act wisely and not just react to the urgent things that always come at us, because something is urgent to someone else doesn't mean it's urgent to us. And we got to make full use of our time. God wants us to recognize that every minute counts. Every minute counts. God is diligent, and he wants us to learn diligence and avoid laziness. Proverbs 12:24 and 27 and Proverbs 13:4 talks about diligence versus laziness. He wants us to use our leisure time wisely. Sometimes I get caught up in projects around my house, and I get involved in working on my train, my model railroad, or reading a book, and I stay up way too late at night, and it makes me tired, and I have a hard time focusing the next day. But you know what? I can fix it by going to bed earlier the next night, right? I can make up that. No, that's not how it works. You lose those minutes of sleep. You don't get them back. This doesn't work that way, does it? And I often get derailed from a daily schedule, and some days we just have to simply start over. So I try to line up my schedule with my list of priorities. And as I close this out in the next 5 minutes, I want to try to wrap this up. Prayer time with God. Prayer time with God has to be in our daily routine. It has to be. Ephesians 6:12 tells us our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I'm going to say something a little bit blunt here. Oftentimes, the spiritual breakthroughs we need are brought about only through prayer. Hear me on this. So sometimes we got to stop asking favors of people or pushing for our breakthrough our own way. Did you hear that? Stop looking for people for your breakthrough and start looking for God for your breakthrough. You want a breakthrough in your life? You want a breakthrough in your spirit? People aren't going to give you that breakthrough. You got to get it from God. So stop looking for people to get you through that. Be persistent in your prayer life. Jesus shared a story, Jesus in Luke 8:1-8. I'm not going to go through all of this, but he shared a story about the prayer of an elderly lady who kept banging on the judge's door until he brought justice. And Jesus taught in the same way that we as a church, we need to become persistent in our prayers. Daily persistence. If you have a need, go and ask God daily. So, you know what, God, what about this? I've got this. Or what about this brother's need? I guess brother, this sister. Sister Roz's father. I mean, we got to, you know what? It's not always about us. We got to be persistent. And you know what? We got to celebrate our wins. You know, it's been 2 months with no Mountain Dew, so we need to take and say, you know what? I have a hard time praying every morning. It's been 1 week that I prayed every day. You know what? I'm going to celebrate that. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to go and have a Mountain Dew. You see, fasting, you know we need to put fasting. You need to regularly fast. I know we have prayer and fasting commitments, but I think sometimes it's just habit. We just lift our hands out of habit. But we need to put that into our schedule. We need to abstain from food. When one fasts, it shows that, God, that you're serious about what you're fasting for, because you're willing to push away the pizza and the dew, and you're willing to take and say, God, I'm going to abstain while everybody else is eating. I'm not going to eat. And faith. I try to work on my faith every day. I try to look for things that challenge me in my faith. Faith is one of the most essential ingredients that we will ever have in a healthy daily walk with God. Hebrews 11:6 says, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Jesus taught us to pray in faith, believing, and we will receive what we ask for in Mark 11:24. So it's not just enough to just pray about something. We need to pray with faith and confidence that God will do what we ask him to do. Because remember, he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, persistently seek him in your daily prayer life. We should pray with faith, not just that God will give us what we want, but we need to pray that our will become in alignment with God's will every day. So how do we know God's will? We know his will by spending time in the Word, and we know his will by spending time with him in prayer. Because the more time we spend with him, where he reveals himself to us. It's that simple. Patience. How many of you struggle with patience? This may be sound really surprising, but faith is not just enough to receive what you ask for in prayer. Because Hebrews 6:12 elaborates and says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You know, God expects us to be patient. Faith and patience. Often we do not receive what we are praying for right away, and we got to keep praying with persistence and patience, and we should pray patiently and trust that God will come through on time for us. And if God says no, then God, when he says no, he means no. When God says yes, he means yes. You need to start looking for it, thanking him for that. But when God says maybe, it may be a few days in God. And another thing, Jesus didn't mess around here at all. And Ephesians 4:26-27, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And in Matthew 6:14-15, he says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you don't add into your daily routine, if you don't add into your daily time in prayer forgiveness, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. Because when somebody does something that you get upset about, and you go to bed, and you go to bed with that in your mind and in your heart, and while you're sleeping, it's growing, and you wake up the next morning, instead of being refreshed, you're frustrated, and your mind goes right back to that offense. It begins to grow in your heart, begins to grow in your life, and when you go and ask God for forgiveness, God says, what are you talking about? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You've got some problems there. You are not forgiving. Big time. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. And the last thing that we need to do every day in our daily schedule, and sometimes we as Pentecostals, we don't really think we need this because Acts 2:38 says repent. That's salvation. And the sinners need to repent. But I think the scripture says that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. You need to have this in your daily schedule, not just when you wake up, but at lunchtime, if you got in a little wrangle with the boss, that forgiveness and that repentance. You see, we have to surrender our whole lives daily. Daily. You see, church, it's in our daily lives, it's in our daily schedules, where the battle is won or lost. It's what we do every day that matters. So as we stand to our feet, as our musicians can come, You see, God didn't save our souls so we could just wallow in sinfulness. Did you know he saved us to do good works? That's what he expects out of us. I don't know about you, but I really, one of the most desired words that I desire to hear when I get to heaven is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to hear God say, "You know what, Roy Howard Grant, you messed up a lot, but you know what? You did it. You made it. Well done. I'm proud of you." I don't want to have him tell me "well done" as I'm heading the other direction. Because "well done" can mean more than just one thing, you know. Some of you caught that. But you see, if we're going to make this, if we are going to allow God's divine presence, his divine power into our lives, we have to align our lives up with his. It's the only way it's going to work. And God is taking a desire. God is doing so many incredible things around us. And God is desiring to use us as a church body in incredible, mind-boggling ways. But God says, "I can't work with you if you will not work with me." And sometimes we wonder why we struggle and why we fight some of these things over and over and over again. Because we're constantly losing that alignment. We're falling out of alignment. God says, "I want you to live in perfect alignment." So as we close this out, I'm just going to open up this altar area tonight for us to just check out our alignment. So you know what, God? There's so many of these things that I need to incorporate in my daily schedule, and I just don't do them. Or I do them inconsistently. God is saying, "You know what? I can work with that if you're moving in the right direction." But you see, sometimes we just let old habits just continually come back and take over. And we wonder why we're not going where we need to be going. So as our praise team begins to sing, I just want you to just find a place to pray tonight. Husbands, wives, divine alignment, your daily schedule.
Turn everything over to him. That's a plan B for.